Well, we're going to start some messages on prosperity. And one of the things that the Holy Ghost has been nudging me for a little bit is, and he spoke to me recently, is that nothing that we do, and this is sort of connecting with some thoughts on this past Wednesday, is that everything that we do in life must be done by faith. And we're going to spend some time there, but we're going to start some messages on prosperity and faith for prosperity. And how many know that faith needs to be developed? And anything, whether it's natural or spiritual, needs to be developed. You know, if you're in education and you are, or in school, you need to develop some skills in a particular area. You need to be what? Taught. And after you're taught, then you need to apply that, so you're developing a skill. And it's no different in spiritual things. We need to be taught, and then after we're taught, and as we're directed by the Lord, we apply those things, and what happens? We develop faith in a particular area. And so we could have faith for healing, we could have faith for love, and we should have faith for prosperity, and these things need to be developed. And you could be strong in one area, which is no different than things in the natural. You could be strong in a particular area. You might be very good at math, and you may, you know, be very poor in another area. So it's no different in the natural as it is in the spiritual. You could be very proficient and developed in one area, and you may be weak in another area. It needs to be developed. So we always need to be developing something regarding prosperity, healing, and love, and the other areas. We need to be developing that in our lives. And when we were in Hampton, Virginia, Pastor Hagen said, there's two areas that the devil works the hardest in Christians' lives. He said, one is healing and one is finances. He said, these are two areas that the devil just works against Christians the hardest at. And so those areas need to be developed and need to be strong. And also, how many know faith works by what? So your love walk can't be weak. Because if it's weak, your faith's going to be weak. And if your faith is weak, then you're going to be weak in healing, because if you're in strife with somebody, your faith's not going to work and you're not going to get anything. Whether that's healing or prosperity or finances. So your love has got to be strong. Now let's, before we open this lesson, as we do, let's open our Bibles to John 3:16, and let's read that together. We read this out loud because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And when you get there, we'll just start to read together. I'll start now. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And if you would, you can turn over to Hebrews 11:1, and I'm going to read just a few additional verses as you're turning there. Psalm 127:1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And Psalm 119:130, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. And the Holman Christian Standard Version says, the revelation of your words bring light and gives understanding to the inexperienced. So whatever we do must be done in faith. Now, did you get to Hebrews 11:1? Everybody there? At this particular scripture verse here, is key. And again, we're going to be talking about some lessons on prosperity. Today, we've entitled this message, Who is Your Source? Who is your source? Now, Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So when we lack in a particular area, faith is key, isn't it? Because we're to walk by faith and not by sight. We are to look at those things, don't look at those things that can be seen, but we're to look at the what? The unseen. Now, this particular word, faith, is pistis in the Greek, and it means a conviction of the truth of anything. When you're convinced of something, it shows. If you are convinced, well, let's go here. How many were convinced that there was a 10:30 service this morning? Sounds kind of silly and simple, doesn't it? Because if you weren't, you wouldn't be sitting here. So you were convinced, and you got up and did something. You came here. Kind of simple, isn't it? So when you're convinced of something, you do something. You act on something. You don't just talk about it. You say, hey, we got to go. It's 9:30. We got to get on the road. We're going to be late. You don't know if we're going to have a service or not. You really don't know. You just said, well, they said to schedule 10:30. You don't know if we're going to have one or not. But you come in faith because you're convinced. And you're expecting that when you pull up on this parking lot, the doors are open, the lights are on, and something's going to happen. Isn't that the truth? That's the truth. So there's a conviction on your part, and you do something. And that's no different that when you're convinced about the Word of God in a particular area, what you say and what you do is a reflection of what you're convinced about. Now, when you read this, substance is another word. When this is not to be a Greek phonetics class or a Greek class on words, but it is important to understand that these words have a meaning, and sometimes the translators would use words that were not a transliteration. It wasn't a true translation of the word. And so when you read substance, it means a substructure. It means something underneath, a foundation, something firm that's there. So faith is a conviction of, and it's a substructure, a foundation. It's the actual existence, it says, or confidence, firm trust, or assurance. Now, when you read these words, This was interesting. I looked up expectation, because when we look up the word assurance, because when you read this in the Greek, it says, okay, it's a conviction, it's an assurance. Well, what's a synonym for assurance? Expectation. I'm assured of something, I expect it. And that is exactly what the Merriam-Webster said. It said, expectation is the act or state of expecting. It's anticipation. It is the basis. The basis for expecting is assurance. So your expectation is this foundation. It's this assurance that is faith. So another word for faith is expectation. I expect something. So when you say, I'm in faith, okay, let's see how you talk. Let's see how you act. We'll see how you expect something. We'll see how you talk. Because how you talk and how you act is a reflection of your expectation. Because if you're expecting something to happen, you're talking about it and you're moving in that direction. You're looking for something to happen and you're moving in that direction. You know, if you go to school, you go to school to be educated and trained in a particular area, and there's an expectation that when I finish, I'm going to get some credentials. Whether I'm going to a professional school or whether I go to a college, I'm not just going to be trained, but when I get done, there's an expectation that I get some certificate that tells me I've been educated in this particular area. So I'm not just going and go, well, you know, whoop-de-doo, you know. No, there's an expectation. And it's no different. There should be an expectation that when we come to church on Sunday morning, I expect that I'm going to receive something that changes my talk, changes my thinking, changes me on the inside from what I hear. Is that not true? Amen. Amen. Otherwise, why do we come? This is not a club. This isn't just something we show up and we go whoop-de-doo, hoo-hoo, we have a good time, and we do, but there should be an expectation that when I leave, my life has changed for the better. I'm more prosperous. I'm walking in health to a greater degree. My mind has changed. I'm walking in love towards my brothers and sisters to a greater degree. And it should be the Word of God and the power of the Rhema Word of God that changes me supernaturally. Amen. And that's what faith will do. Hallelujah. So when you read some of the other particular translations in Hebrews 11:1, it's, and this is the New Living, it says, what is faith? It is a confident assurance. The American Standard Version says, now faith is assurance. The Berkeley translation says, faith forms a solid ground. I like that. When I have faith, it forms something. It forms a solid ground on which that which I hope rests upon. You see. The Weymouth translation, it says, faith is a well-grounded assurance. So we can see here that faith gives substance to things that we hope for. Faith gives reality to something. Faith gives substance and reality to things that we hope for. It's a conviction of things not seen. It's the ability to thank God for money that we haven't seen. It's the ability, because I expect something to happen, I'm convinced of it, it's the ability within me to thank God for a healing in my body that I don't have yet. In the natural. I can thank Him for money that I haven't seen yet. It's thanking God for a healing that I don't see yet. And you can do that because of a conviction on the inside, an expectation, an assurance. And when we don't have that, you see, that's the key. That's the thing that we want to reflect on. Who is your source? Faith has to be the foundational piece. Because if we put our trust in the government, we could come up short. What is your trust in? Where's your source coming from? Is it your job? And some of the thoughts that came as I was putting this together, well, before I go there, let's turn to Hebrews 11:6. Because Pastor Judy was touching on this on Friday night, on the topic of faithfulness. But Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him." So you can't please God without faith. What does it say? It's impossible. So that means without a conviction, without a confident assurance of something, you can't please God. That's not wishy-washy. That means your conviction is in the will of God and what His Word says, and you're convinced of it. And you're expecting something to happen. That pleases God. The Message translation says, "It is impossible to please God apart from faith." And it says, "And why? Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that He exists and that He cares enough to respond to those who seek Him." So one of the things that we need to keep in mind is that where is our trust? What is our trust in? Because trust and faith and assurance and expectation, it's all the same. And if your trust is in your job, that doesn't please God. If your trust is in your money, see, you could have a lot of money in the bank. And you say, "Well, I trust that." I'll tell you, when I first started here in the ministry, my trust was in my savings account at the time, because I didn't ask them what they were going to pay me here, because God spoke to me and said, "Go work at the ministry." And it was confirmed. But it also, when I found out what they were paying, I said, "Thank God I have a big savings account." And it took a year to drain that savings account. It took 1 year. Operating a car, having a home, running up and down the road from here to Hackensack 6 and 7 days a week, working in the ministry and other, you know, your normal expenses. It took a year. But I'll tell you, after a year, and it was zero, my trust no longer could be in my bank account. I had to go back and get on my knees and say, God, help. I need some help. And he spoke to me and told me what to believe for. And so your trust must be in God, because he is our source. He's our supply. And so if your trust is in anything else, that's shaky ground. And I'm going to say something because it says without faith, it's impossible to please God. And Pastor Judy touched on faithfulness on Friday night. And it's interesting, if you look up the word faith, that word again is pistis. But it also, if you look up the definition, it says it's faithfulness, fidelity. So without faithfulness, it's impossible to please God. Without fidelity, it's impossible to please God. And also, if you look at the word faith, faith is an action. Faith means I'm doing something. So you could also say, without an action, it's impossible to please God. Because if you just say, well, I have faith, and what does the scripture say? I'll show you my faith by my what? By my works. And so you could say, well, yeah, okay, without faith it's impossible to please God, but it's also without doing something as a result of what you say you believe. If you're not doing something based on what you believe, that's not faith, and it's not pleasing to God. But I will say this, that depending on your faith, what is your faith in? Well, let's jump over here for a moment. Let's go over to Philippians chapter 4. So our faith needs to be in God, because that is what's going to please him. And, you know, I'll say this. I believe and know that this is the direction that God prompted me to go in. It's nice to have a confirmation. But if I didn't have the confirmation, I know anyways. But this morning, the word of the Lord came forth and said, what are you afraid of? Why don't you believe? My word is settled. All right. So regarding finances, what is your trust in? And I'll say this, how many parents do we have here today? Parents, you have children, or let's say maybe this way. How many have young children? You know, they're growing up, younger children. We're to train up our children and teach them the things of God. It's a good idea to train your children that mommy and daddy are not your source. You need to train them and don't say, we can't afford this. Because what you're training them is that you're the source and there's a limitation. And if mommy and daddy can't afford it, well then we're stuck. But you need to train them, and you can say, we don't have the money to buy that right now. Let's ask God for it. Let's pray about that and let's get into agreement and get them to agree with you and pray for that you desire or need. And begin to train the children to believe God. And you believe with them. But to say, we can't afford that, well then you're out of the words of your mouth, you're setting boundaries in your life. You're saying, we can't afford this. That's not past tense. When you say, we can't, that's basically stamping from here forward, we can't do this. You don't want to say that. We don't have the money for that right now, at this moment, but let's pray and believe God for that. And teach your children, just like we sow and are given opportunities to sow into a need, teach your children to sow some of their toys to another child. Teach them to sow something into another child's life. Maybe that child needs a pair of shoes. Have them sew their shoes. Have them sew a pair of a dress or a pair of pants. Sew it into someone. And you watch, see, because when they begin to learn that, hey, mommy and daddy are not my source, God is my source, I sowed this and I reaped something from what I sowed. Let them begin to learn the sowing and reaping process. Yes, yes, yes. Is that not true? See, we need to train up our children in the ways of the Lord. That's one way to do that. Philippians. Chapter 4, starting in verse 10, it says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Verse 14. "Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction." Now let's stop here a moment. Some people say, well, the Lord is teaching me something with this lack. Well, I would present to you right here in the book of Philippians, he's talking about lack here being an affliction. It doesn't sound like a blessing to me, does it? It talks about his lack being a what? An affliction. And this says here, "Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction." But my Bible tells me, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but he lets them stay in the middle of them. What does it say? It says, "But the Lord delivereth him out of them all." That's Psalm 34:19. So don't let anybody tell you God's teaching you something by this affliction. No, he said he delivers the righteous. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In verse 15, it says, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me." Well, isn't it interesting? No church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving. See, not just giving, giving and receiving. But you only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Isn't that interesting? He was more concerned about what? Their account. Giving them an opportunity. But I have all and abound. I am full. That's faith talking. Having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell. Isn't that interesting? He calls their offering sweet smelling. That's why when we sow into something, don't take it frivolous to God. That's a sweet odor. It's precious. A sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Verse 19, but who? My God. Whose God?
My God.
My God does what? Shall supply all, say all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And you can take the time to look it up, but you can look up riches, you can look up need. It just means that he's supplying something natural. Riches means exactly what it means. Money, riches, stuff. And so God is supplying all of our need. It doesn't say your job. It doesn't say your job supplies all your need. You know, you could make a lot of money on your job. You could make whatever that is. You could have a six-figure job. What is that to God? If you're going to limit yourself to that, then you're limiting. You're limiting God, what God can do in your life. Because if you put your trust in your job as opposed to God to supply all your need, you're limiting. You're limited. It doesn't say the economy will supply all our need. It doesn't say your parents will supply all your need. It doesn't say your inheritance will supply all your need. It says God will supply all your need. He will. And that's where the expectation has to come. One way to check up on ourselves is, when we have a need, who do we look to? Who's the first person we look to? I like to say this. You know, we've been around church so long, you all give good church answers. And I don't mean that the wrong way, and I don't mean that derogatory or smart alecky, but we all know how to answer. But it's when the pressure's on and the thoughts are coming and raging, it's what do you look to first? That's what your trust is in. That's what you're looking to. And you can say what you want, but when the pressure's on, when stuff's hitting you, and you say, well, you know what? If I just work some extra hours on the job, I can get some more money. It'll cover the bill. That's what your trust is in. Your trust is in the extra hours to get the overtime, to pay the bills. That's what your trust is in. And it's not in God. Because if you're going to just trust that, then you're limiting yourself. Now, that's not to say, see, I would have to ask the question, why do you go to work? I'm going to give you an answer. It's a wrong answer. You don't go to work to make a living. Wrong answer. You go to work to give. You give, and then you receive something because of your giving. You give And because of your giving, you receive. So you go to work to give. And the more you give, the more you receive. That is just a principle. Sowing and reaping. And I would say, the more you give, because people will say, well, I can't give because I don't have any money. You'll never get out of the cycle. The more you give, the more you will receive, which will then open up opportunities beyond what your job can do. And we need to consider that, because natural things are a way, a stream. Things come from natural resources. Money just doesn't fall out of the sky. But that's not our source. God is our source. He is our supply. And every one of us are at different levels of spiritual growth. And it's good to check up, because the things that God is now giving us opportunity in these next phase of this ministry, we have the opportunity to do what? Step out in faith in areas and stretch in ways that we've never stretched before. In faith. But it's going to have to be developed. And one thing, I'm aware of this because I check up on myself on this. If I'm expecting something, I'm excited about it. If I'm not excited about it, maybe I'm not in faith. I didn't say I wasn't. I'm just saying maybe I'm not. Because if I'm expecting something to come, I'm looking for it, and I'm excited, and I'm talking about it. If you don't think so, you get a big raise, and you've already got it spent, and you've told everybody. You don't go, hey, I got a raise. No, you didn't. You didn't mumble, I got a raise. You shouted it, and you talked about it, and you told everybody about it. Because it was something that, in most cases in the natural, you didn't expect it, you were excited about it, and you told everybody. So when we have faith in God, and we absolutely are convinced He's our source of everything we need, He supplies all our need. We're excited about that. Hallelujah. Let's turn for just a second as we close. You know, let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. One thing that we need to be conscious of is sometimes we can become so familiar with a scripture verse that we can quote it from memory. I know that scripture. Yep, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But to you, it doesn't have the same impact as somebody else. To you, it may not have the impact if you're looking to other sources to supply all your need. Proverbs 4:23, it says, keep your heart, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And issues means, when you look that up in the Hebrew, it means an extremity or an end or a boundary. So you set the boundaries in your life. If you don't believe that, don't take my word for it. Look it up in Strong's. It's either online, or if you have a Strong's dictionary, you can look it up online. Just look up Strong's, and it'll look up Bible Dictionary or Strong's Expository Dictionary. You can just type in this particular scripture, and you can look for yourself. It means a border or a boundary or an extremity in your life. You set with your heart, with the words that come out of your mouth, you set the boundaries and the extremities. If you say you can't afford it, you won't. If you say God is the supplier of everything I need, He meets every one of my needs, He fills my bank accounts, then He will. I believe the scripture says in Matthew, whatsoever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And the modern translations say, whatever we forbid on earth is forbidden in heaven. Whatever we allow on earth is allowed. Whatever we allow on earth is allowed in heaven. So that means when you say things with your mouth, you forbid heaven to move in your behalf. That's what you're doing. You forbid heaven to move. But when you allow something by releasing what God says is yours, you allow heaven to move in your behalf. So when you say, we can't afford that, you've just restricted heaven to move in your behalf, but yet it's your covenant right. And so we need to firmly fix that God is our source. Because the times that we live in are, as the scripture says, is perilous times that we live in. And we need to have these things firmly rooted. And I like, you know, when you go to Matthew and Luke, I believe it's Luke 6, when it talks about those that hear His word and do it. Luke 6:47, it says, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house, digged deep, and laid the foundation on a rock. So when we hear the word and do it, we're considered wise, and someone who's digging deep and laying a foundation on a rock, so that when the winds come and the rains beat against our house and our life, we won't fall. And, you know, the world itself, you could have a job today and it could be gone tomorrow. You could have money today and be in abundance and be in lack tomorrow. But Paul said, I've learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. And so it's being content with what you have, not coveting, but looking to God and saying, He's my source. He will get to me what I need and what I'm eligible for in this covenant that I have. He's my source. Not man, not my parents, not my job. They're not my source. Not my paycheck. That is a way money comes, but it is not the source. Even for those that may be watching, even pastors over a church, the money that comes in, the congregants, that's not their source. That is not their source. God is their source. And sometimes pastors and ministers, whether they're traveling, they'll work people because that's their source. But when God is their source, there's no pressure on people. Is there? There's no pressure. Because they have come to the place where they rest and know that God is their source. It's no different in a relationship. Wives, your husband is not your source. Husbands, your wife is not your source. She may make more money. She is not your source. God is your source. Because if you're going to limit yourself to that, you're limited. You've set a boundary. You've gotten comfortable in a stream of money, and you've taken your eyes off of who is your source. You know, when we rest in these principles and we live in them, we can be put in situations that might be uncomfortable because we've proven. What does the scripture say in Romans 12:2? It says that we are to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of our mind, that we may do what? Prove. We may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, abundance is His perfect will, but we have to prove it. We have to prove the perfect will of God. And so no matter what situation we find ourselves in, whether it's abundance or lack, we should not be putting pressure on bosses for raises and parents for money and husbands and wives putting pressure on each other to get more money. No. You go to God. And if you do anything, you get in agreement with one another. And it says He will supply all your need and He'll give you the desires of your heart. So we need to rest in that and be convinced of that. And I'm going to close with that. Amen. Just some thoughts to feed upon. But your source is God. He supplies all your need. All of it. You know, I'll say this, I've just as a postscript here. Everybody needs to work. And I'm not saying that to make anyone feel uncomfortable. If God has directed you to go to school, or if He's directed you to do something, and as I'm saying this, I'm thinking about something, an experience. And before I say this, this is in regard to Pastor Saren Clinton going to Bible school. God directed them to go to Bible school. Who directed them? Who directed them? Say it again. Okay, if He directed them, then He'll take care of them. And He did. So now when you want to say, God told me to do this and not work, okay, now I'm going to put you to the test. Because if you say He did, then there should be some evidence in your life that reflects the God that told you to not work. Because if you're mooching off people, and I don't mean that the wrong way, but if you're mooching, then I have to ask the question, maybe it wasn't God that told you not to work. Because the God that told you not to work is well able to meet your need, and it should be reflective in your life. Because otherwise, you're just mooching. Be honest. Because when Pastor Sarah and Clinton went to school, their need was met. And there were purposes. And I know she's here. If she wants to add some comments, she can. But what she shared was, at the time that they were going to school, one of the ministers got up and shared that if you're going to school, you need to work. If you don't work, you don't eat. And there's a reason for that. Because a lot of the students that went and still do, I don't know if that's gotten better, but because people say, well, God told me to come to Rhema. And then they don't work. And then they get in financial problems. And who has to deal with it? School does. And so they shared, look, if you're going to school, you need to go to work. You need to work. Unless you've got all your bills paid. And so the Lord, who? The Lord spoke to them not to go to work. And at that meeting, a minister got up and said, you need to work. You need to go to work. And she shared that at that time, I'm saying this is Pastor Sarah shared this, that at that time Pastor Clinton was thinking about taking a job. And he would have missed God. Because God told them not to go to work, yet scripturally that is correct. If you don't work, you don't eat. But if God told you not to go to work, then there should be some evidence in your life that the God that told you to work, not to work, is meeting all your needs, paying your rent, doing something, and you're not mooching off folks. I'm just being plain. Because in their life, they didn't go to work, and just after that, there was an opportunity for them to minister with Brother Hagin in prayer and healing school and travel on crusades. And through that, the door opened up for Pastor Clinton to sell his music. Money came in. Meet their needs. But who told? God did. And there was evidence in their life. So there was some fruit that reflected the instruction. That's all I'm trying to say. So when you want to throw it out, because we hear it, the Lord told me. Okay. But when you're doing this, help me. I'm not your source. Why don't you go back to the one that told you not to work? Because sometimes that has to be a hard reality check so that we get some thinking corrected. And at least be honest. You know, we all can miss it. We're human. We can think it was the Lord to do something, tell us to do something. But be man or woman enough to say, I missed it. It wasn't God. I thought it was, but it wasn't. And at least be honest, because we're all growing, we can miss it. Because there needs to be evidence and fruit in your life that God is your supplier. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for enlightening us and reminding us of the truth of your word. And thank you that as we hear the Word of God, it reveals and unfolds and brings light, because your Word is life and it is light. And the hearer gets light and life from the hearing of the Word of God. Father, we thank you for it. We purpose to do what we hear and do what is revealed to us and make the necessary corrections in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.